Shortly before the company reached the east end of the ridge, we watched a stretcher team make its way up to bring down a casualty. Suddenly, four or five mortar shells exploded in quick succession near the team, wounding slightly three of the four bearers. They helped each other back down the ridge, and another stretcher team, of which I was a member, started up to get the casualty. To avoid the enemy mortar observer, we moved up by a slightly different route. We got up the ridge and found the casualty lying above a sheer coral ledge about 5 feet high. The Marine, Leonard E. Vargo, told us he couldn't move much because he had been shot in both feet. Thus, he couldn't lower himself down off the ledge. "You guys be careful. The nip that shot me twice is still hiding right over there in those rocks." He motioned toward a jumble of boulders not more than 20 yards away. We reasoned that if the sniper had been able to shoot Vargo in both feet, immobilizing him, he was probably waiting to snipe at anyone who came to the rescue. That meant that anyone who climbed up to help Vargo down would get shot instantly. We stood against the coral rock with our heads about level with Vargo, but out of the line of fire of the sniper, and looked at each other. I found the silence embarrassing. Vargo lay patiently, confident of our aid. "Somebody's got to get up there and hand him down," I said. My three buddies nodded solemnly and made quiet comments in agreement. I thought to myself that if we fooled around much longer, the sniper might shoot and kill the already painfully wounded and helpless Marine. Then we heard the crash of another 105-millimeter short round farther along the ridge, then another. I was seized with a grim fatalism. It was either be shot by the sniper or have all of us get blown to bits by our own artillery. Feeling ashamed for hesitating so long, I scrambled up beside Vargo. "Watch out for that nip," he said again. As I placed my hands under his shoulders, I glanced over and saw the entrance of the sniper's small cave. It was a black space about 3 feet in diameter. I expected to see a muzzle flash spurt forth. Strangely, I felt at peace with myself, and oddly, wasn't particularly afraid. But there was no sound or sight of the sniper. My buddies had Vargo well in hand by then, so for a brief instant I stood up and looked south. I felt a sensation of wild exhilaration. Beyond the smoke of our artillery to the south lay the end of the island and the end of the agony. "Come on, Sledgehammer, let's move out." With another quick glance at the mouth of the small cave, puzzled over where the sniper was and why he hadn't fired at me, I scrambled back down the rock to the stretcher team. We carried Vargo down Kunishi Ridge without further incident. After bringing down another casualty, I passed our company's CP among some rocks at the foot of the ridge and overheard one of our officers talking confidentially to Hank Boys. The officer said his nerves were almost shattered by the constant strain, and he didn't think he could carry on much longer. The veteran Boys talked quietly, trying to calm the officer. The officer sat on his helmet, frantically running his hands through his hair. He was almost sobbing.